He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, let's all go back to bed, May 11th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson. I'm kidding. I think that, the market's down. That's the bad news. The good news is it has improved quite a bit, and I've seen some buying into this gap down at the open. So we'll watch it throughout the day. I'll be very busy sending out messages throughout the day to all my followers and subscribers. You can watch me on Twitter at Bill Gunderson, at StockTwits at Bill Gunderson. Right now, the Dow is off 273 points. Okay, it was down about 350. It's at 34,472. I mean, that's within like a breath of its all-time high, so I wouldn't get too shook up here. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, down 114. It was down over 200 here a bit ago. Looks to me like maybe the NASDAQ's headed for like 13,000 area. That would be very firm support for the NASDAQ. There is some buying going on in this dip in the NASDAQ right now. But then again, we could have a double dip. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. The Russell 2000 down 1.1%. S&P 500 sitting right on support right now. That's a good thing. We'll watch that throughout the day. Crude oil's up 4 cents. You got that big pipeline shut down. You better stock up quickly if you want to go anywhere. If you're on the East Coast, gold down $10 per ounce, silver down 6 cents. We've got the 10-year going up. Oh boy, the market doesn't like that. The NASDAQ doesn't like that at all. 1.62% on the 10-year. Bitcoin is down $1,700. Per coin, and there's no truth to the rumor that I'll be on SNL Saturday Night Live this Saturday. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. Are there any best stocks now today? Well, look, we'll find out. My inverse hedges are certainly doing well today. This is Bill Gunderson, and it's the May 11th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know what? The futures were down big this morning. The NASDAQ gap down at the open. There is some buying coming into the NASDAQ. I'm looking at some of the, the bigger names in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ still looks very weak to me, however. I warned you this was coming in the NASDAQ back in late February. My inverse ETFs on the NASDAQ and on the small caps and on the biotech sector doing quite well today. But not a good day. It's inflation. It's inflation worries. You're trying to find a culprit. I would say inflation worries. And you've got a sell-off in the bond market today, which is pushing interest rates higher. And I would say the third big factor, it's finally starting to set in, is sentiment. Sour sentiment starting to set in. You know, as a guy who studied the market for the last over two decades, there's also an emotional cycle that goes on in the market, right? You know, you go from the depths of depression back in March of last year, the depths of despair, thinking that there's no bottom, to the sell-off, to, just a little bit of optimism. And then that little bit of optimism turns to, gosh, I better get in before it leaves the train leaves the station without me. And then there's that kind of let's ride this for as long as it goes. And then you kind of reach a euphoria state of mind, giddy. You want to sell giddy, and you want to buy depression and despair. We bought last March, and in February when I saw the speculation taking place, especially in late February, I started to sell giddy. And a lot of those giddy sells that I made have gotten a lot less giddy since I sold them. They've gotten hit pretty hard. and they continue to get hit pretty hard. Well, I don't think this is the big one. I do think that we're taking a heck of a lot of froth off the top of the market in the most expensive areas of the market, and now the sentiment is starting to sour again. I would say that the average investor is not giddy right now. Okay, I would say that the average investor started to become fearful on some of those big drops in the NASDAQ recently. That's when a little bit of reality, sobering up, you know, comes in. And then from there, the fear moves in, and the fear increases, and the selling increases. You know, like there's not going to be any end to the selling. And then finally, the market starts to find some kind of a bottom, and the greed starts coming back again. Repeat cycle over and over again. And, of course, some cycles are more devastating than others. Some cycles last longer than others. The cycle back during COVID of last year was about a four-month cycle, really, from a three-month cycle. From January to March was when that fear set in, panic set in. The depths of despair came about in the middle of March, late March. And then the whole cycle started all over again. And now we've had that cycle peak back in February, late February. And now we're starting back into a fear cycle. So, anyways, we'll make the best of it here today. Okay, well, yesterday we had a nasty sell-off in the NASDAQ once again. You know, I can't help but use those ARK funds as a proxy for the slice of the market that was the frothiest. And, man, it got hammered again yesterday. All the ARK ETFs, the whole family got hammered. That whole family needs some family therapy because they're breaking down big time. And yesterday was just a nasty day for the former high-flying speculative stocks, rocket ships to the moon, Bitcoin miners, you know, electric trucks and autonomous robotic technology, these kinds of areas. And it was a bloody day out there yesterday. And even now it's extended into the value stocks. But they're not breaking down by any means. I think they're just getting caught up in this selling, and I think there's still a lot of room to the upside for these value stocks. But from time to time, they're going to get caught up with the sell-off in the really expensive stocks. The semiconductor stocks still under big pressure. Let me just look at a good proxy there. We'll use AMD. Well, you know what? I'm thinking that the selling in the semiconductor is over. From my mouth to God's ears, it looks like it's basing here finally. You know, it's had a pretty nasty sell-off. The cloud stocks, let's take a look there. We'll take a look at a cloud ETF as our proxy there. Yeah, I think the sell-off in the cloud stocks is probably over right now. From my mouth to God's ears again. And that cloud that is doing well is that cloud of fertilizer fumes, you know, wafting through the air. Barron's, the cover of Barron's over the weekend. You know, and the rest of the world is not being spared. Japan was down 3.1% overnight. Hong Kong down 2%. London down 2%. Paris down 1.9%. Frankfurt down 1.9%. I think if you didn't take cover from the NASDAQ and the high-growth stocks, when I said to several... I'd have to go back, you know, I guess it was 2 months ago, somewhere in there. I think it's too late. I don't think it does you any good right now to sell those stocks off because they're probably putting in some kind of a depression bottom here. So if you wrote them down this far, I certainly wouldn't be selling here. I would hang tight. That would be my advice right now. Consumers' inflation fears climbed to the highest level since 2013. Okay, that's 8 years ago. And let's not forget that sentiment has a lot to do with the market. Why do you think they give out consumer sentiment numbers all the time? We're taking the pulse of what the consumer thinks because sentiment drives actions. If consumers are fearful, they zip their pockets shut. If they're afraid of inflation, you see panic buying that drives prices even higher. So that's an important gauge, sentiment gauges. And, of course, there is fear out there of inflation. We're seeing inflation almost everywhere we look. Well, we're going to continue looking. I'm looking down all the nooks and crannies of the market here today, trying to get a good read on when this selling will be over. I think, we're getting close on the NASDAQ, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I can't say things really have improved. The Dow down 390 now. I think you're looking at a buying opportunity in the value stocks here. The NASDAQ's kind of settled in at about minus 120 right now. I did just find a stock hitting a new high. The ETF, Cane. Yeah, that's sugar. Sugar hitting a new high today. The market's not on a sugar high, though, is it? But the ETF is on a sugar high as inflation continues to be a worry. It is a worry. Got to do something here. You know, inflation's not a good deal at all. It decreases your buying power. It's not good at all. Wall Street debates next move for the dollar after a weak jobs report. Okay, UUP. Yeah, you know what? It's pretty soft. And, of course, that pushes inflation higher. Inflation higher when you've got a weak dollar. Here's what one analyst says. We continue to see the peaking U.S. exceptionalism narrative playing out through a weaker dollar over time due to a dovish Fed. Benign risk appetite and global recovery, wrote analyst at Citigroup. Last month, the group at Citigroup said the greenback could fall another 20%. Ouch. That decreases your buying power there. Okay, that's not a good deal. And J.P. Morgan and T. Rowe Price are, among others, predicting more losses ahead. You would think gold would be moving better, but it's not. It's moving a little better, but it's not like, you know, really doing what it should do against this fall in the dollar. We expect the dollar to weaken further, given its diminishing appeal as a safe haven currency, as long as the global economic picture and risk appetite improve further, UniCredit strategists added in a research note. Okay, well, you know what? I saw a huge drop in the dollar last Friday. Value ETFs diverge even further from growth ETFs. Now, even though these value ETFs and so-called value stocks are down today, there's absolutely no comparison. You look at a chart of Dow Chemical or Alcoa. You look at a chart of Alcoa, okay, AA. And then you look at a chart of, let's take Blink Charging, all right, BLNK, and you tell me the difference between those two charts. Now, these commodity stocks may be down just a little, and these value stocks may be down today just a little, but they still have very, very good, solid charts. And if you look, there's a comparison. There's a good article in Seeking Alpha today. With a comparison over the last year of value ETFs versus growth ETFs, there's no comparison. Large cap value up 18.2% year to date. mid-cap value 21%, small-cap value 24%, while small-cap growth is only up 3%. Now, why is that important? Well, the vast majority of you out there listening have a 401k at work that has certain choices to make within that 401k. And, you know, a lot of them have got a lot more choices than they used to. But it's pretty typical within a 401k to see growth funds, mutual funds. A lot of 401ks are mutual funds. And it's very typical to see value funds. Now, a TSP, unfortunately, doesn't have those choices, okay? There's large cap, and there's mid and small cap. And there's no choice between value or growth. But generally speaking, in a 401k, you have those choices. And if you've been listening to me, you know, you would have moved out of the growth and into the value quite some time ago. Now, as far as an asset class goes, I don't think it's too late to do that. You know, I've read a few articles here recently that value could outperform growth for several years going forward. So I honestly believe that we're back into a value-driven market. We haven't seen one of those for a long time, quite some time. I think maybe 2007, 2006 were value years, maybe 2004, 2005. I remember when small-cap value ruled the roost for a couple of years, and this is not a good time to be in growth. Colonial Pipeline expects service substantially restored by the end of the week. You know, that was a massive attack, a cyber attack, shutting down that pipeline, which shows you how vulnerable we are. I've always said, it's good to have a little extra around the house. You know, I keep some 5-gallon jugs in my garage. I hope nobody ever lights a match or we'll be in trouble. But I think it's good just to have some just in case. Look how quickly something can happen and gasoline is not available. The cyber attack on Colonial is unprecedented in terms of its scale, but so far is not a cause for broader concern over the distribution of energy. And the pipeline should be up and running in 3 to 5 days, Energy Aspects co-founder Amrita Sen tells Bloomberg. Well, gasoline futures were surging here yesterday. I haven't been to my local gas station here in the last week or so. And I know what you're saying. Well, if you got an electric car, you don't have to worry. This is true. Maybe you need an electric car and a gasoline car. There's definitely vulnerabilities in our system. Kathy Wood's ARK sheds a third of its Apple holdings as its flagship fund keeps slumping. Large holdings getting hit hard again today, Tesla, Square, and Roku. ARK is below $100 per share for the first time since November 16th. Let's see how it's faring today. With the S&P down just a little 1%, ARK is down 1.7. So it is, yeah, it's holding that $100 level. Here's a thought I had. When I looked at that chart this morning, ARK is right on the $100 level. I thought back to the Boeing stock when it hit the $100 level in March of last year. March 19th. And I said, you know, I think that's a Boeing bottom. And Boeing's a constituent of the Dow. And I think if Boeing's bottomed, the Dow is bottomed, and I was right. Well, if ARK can hold that $100 level, I think maybe this could be a bottom for this high growth, highfalutin, high PE, high price to sale, Square, PayPal, Roku, Tesla of the world. But I wouldn't go storming back in. I think it's going to be a value market, but maybe this bloodletting in this high growth slice of the market is over. That's my thoughts. What are yours? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know what? I was wrong. The market's taking a turn for the worse. Right now you got the Dow down 536 points, down 1.6%. The problem with the Dow is a couple of stocks, really. It looks to me to be Intel, which is large tech, large cap tech. Really looks bad, large cap tech. And Boeing is also a drag on the Dow, as is IBM. And I got to believe in the NASDAQ, it's Amazon, it's Apple, it's Facebook, it's all the rest. Large cap tech not looking very good right now again. So we've got, do we have anything up here? You know, I did, the value stocks are down a little bit, but their charts still look rather good. I just, Alcoa still looks good. Cleveland Cliffs, he says that rising demand, the CEO says it's rising demand, not tariffs, the reason for the steel surge. So, you know, they kind of got a double boost, the steel stocks. One was the tariff benefit relief that they got. And number two, the rising demand for steel right now. So I look at Cleveland Cliffs stock. It's down 1% right now. That's still a pretty solid chart. It hit a new high yesterday. I would compare that with the chart of Amazon. It doesn't look so good right now. Compare that with the chart of Apple. That does not look so good right now. Apple is sitting right on its 200-day moving average. You know what? That would be a big, big, big deal. If Apple were to drop below its 200-day moving average, Apple's down about 15% from its high that it set back in late January. That was kind of that watershed period of time, late January, when we had all of that speculation and all of... I was putting 10 SPACs into my database every single day. It was craziness. And I knew that it was not going to end well. There was a risk appetite that was buying a lot of things that were very, very, very high risk. Apple needs to hold that 200-day moving average. How's Amazon doing today? It's a little bit below its 200-day moving average. It's hanging on like that proverbial cat holding on to the, you know, the bar there, ready to fall. Hang in there, baby. Let's see if it can hold. How's Facebook doing today? Well, not too good. It's down to 300. That might be some support there for Facebook. How's Netflix doing today? I'm not a fan of that stock at all. Well, it's broken. It's 200-day moving average, and you're getting ready for a crossover of the 50 and 200-day, a death cross. That is getting very close to happening on Netflix, where the 50-day crosses below the 200-day moving average. That's considered a death cross. Google, it's holding up the best. Google is sitting on support here. Let's just take a look at one more. Let's look at NVIDIA, which from time to time is it's sitting right on its 50-day moving average. So it doesn't look as bad as the rest. And, of course, Microsoft sometimes is thrown into that group. It's sitting right on its 50-day moving average, too. So I think Apple holding the 200-day is probably the most critical chart there. Church & Dwight. Well, they make a lot of consumer products. They're expected to battle through higher cost this year. Well, how many companies, how many CEOs have come out and said inflation, higher input cost, we're starting to feel the pain and we're going to have to raise prices on our products. It's going to be passed along to the consumer. And as I've said in the past, right now it's showing up in the PPI, but eventually it's going to show up in the CPI. Okay, now here's what I'm wondering. Will Hell's Angels plug in or plug out? Harley-Davidson introduces all-electric motorcycle brand. the launch of LiveWire. Well, you know, I'm just having a hard time thinking of this, you know, well, I don't want to call them a gang, but a bunch of riders pulling up to some saloon, you know, out in the sticks, and everybody plugging in their car, their motorcycle. Maybe, you know, maybe, but I know that Harley has tried this before, and it was a tough sell. But Harley Davidson, you know, and Harley Davidson is a value stock. Let's see how it's doing today. Hog, obviously, the symbol there. Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. Harley Davidson's going to go a different direction. Maybe it will get an electric vehicle type of evaluation right now. Hog's current PE is 25. Well, Tesla's like 725 or whatever. The company says the all-electric brand will seize the opportunity to lead and define the market in EV motorcycles. Workhorse and Tesla. I'm telling you what, this sector has been just decimated. Let's see, what is the ETF there? Drive, is it? D-R-I-V? Yeah, that's it. Autonomous and electric vehicles. Well, it's sitting on support. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of this. Let's look at Tesla. Tesla is closing in on its 200-day moving average. There's another key test. Keep an eye on that. Maybe we should get that on SNL this weekend. Tesla's 200-day moving average is approaching very, very quickly. It's right at about just under 600. If it were to break below that 200-day moving average, that would not be a good sign for the high-growth slice of the market. My guess is it'll hold. My guess is that ARC will hold 100, and Tesla will hold you know, the 200-day, and Apple will hold the 200-day moving average, and your selling will abate. Meanwhile, Workhorse, it continues to get worked big time. Ouch, that is just a horrible. Do you know that Workhorse, listen to this, Workhorse, which, you know, has the electric truck, this thing was $43 at the end of January, and now it's $7.75. This is a big holding at ARC. So that's not helping her performance. And then you've got all of these wannabes like Fisker. Holy cow, that's a horrible chart. Ugh. You've got Romeo Power. I remember that one. Romeo, wherefore? Oh, that's a horrible chart on that one. QuantumScape with their solid-state batteries. That's a horrible chart. But it does look like maybe the selling's about over. Ride? Not good at all. That's that Lordstown Motors, the one that in Lordstown, Ohio. And then you've got the electric scooter makers. Yeah, I never was interested in electric scooter stocks myself. Solo is down to $3 a share. Hylian, H-Y-L-N. Let's check in on Hylian. $8 a share. And last but not least, how about Blink Charging? You know, I saw an analyst research report out saying they're bullish on Blink Charging because they said they might be profitable by 2024. Well, like I say, buy that one for the great grandkids. See if it works out. Ford to unveil all-electric F-150 truck next week. So all these electric truck makers like Workhorse and Nikola and others, you know, they're going to have to reckon with Ford. Ford, it still has the most popular truck out there in the F-150. Now, will the electric version, be any better? I think that might catch on. But then again, you think about a cowboy going out there and throwing a big bale of hay to the steers and then driving back and plugging in his truck. We'll see. You know, you gotta sell it. There's got to be some good commercials to change mindsets. SPAC Switchback gains on report of deal to take electric scooter Bird public. Well, where can I get some of that? I need some of that in my portfolio. I don't think so. Cryptocurrency slump batters crypto stocks. Well, we need to check in on Coin, don't we? I seem to be talking to myself today. Coin had a big jump yesterday. That was probably Kathy Wood buying. and now it's back down 2.2% today. I'm not a fan of Coinbase, $56 billion company. Let's check in on Riot. There's basically three main. That's a horrible chart on Riot. And last but not least, let's not forget Marathon Digital. Another big, Oh, that did it. I got to have a Tums. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I would say this. The averages look a lot worse than the underlying stocks. Usually it's the other way around. You see big day up days on the indexes, and I look underneath, I go, there's not much that looks very good here. And today I'm seeing this big down day in the indexes, and I look underneath, I say, there's not much that looks really that bad here. So there's just a little dose of optimism for you here to get you through the day. I think there's some buying coming back in, and maybe we're seeing a final washout here in this slice of the market, especially that has just been hammered here recently. Okay, I had a call with Sarasota, our team, and we will be very soon, sooner rather than later, coming down to Sarasota. I'm going to come down to Sarasota for about 3 or 4 days. We're going to do a workshop at the Grove, we're also going to set up appointments, and I will be at our new office, which has been there for a while, but now that I'm a part of Southport Capital. And that office is in Lakewood Ranch. And I will be there in person to do these appointments with other members of my team. And I look forward to that, three, four days of meeting with people and also doing a live workshop there at the Grove. Okay, so we don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be very soon, sooner rather than later. We'll try to get it in there before the real summer vacation starts for everybody. So I'm thinking maybe in 5-6 weeks from now, four or five weeks, somewhere in there. You can start reserve. The workshop will fill up. There's no doubt about that, unless COVID's still floating around. I don't know. We'll all wear masks. We'll all get along. But if you'd like, and, you know, I haven't been down to Sarasota in a long time. And I normally don't, you know, these days I've been sending my my team to do these appointments. But this time I miss all my friends down there and my clients, and it's been a long time. COVID's really changed the world, but I'm looking forward. I need to visit my sister down there. So we'll be coming down somewhere in early June, I would guess, early to mid-June, okay? Now, if you'd like to reserve an appointment, okay, Edie is the keeper to my schedule. And if you would like to meet with myself and a couple others from my team and talk about how we might be able to help you out and analyze your situation. The 800, we have a toll-free number where you can set that up, and I'm pretty sure Edie's going to be flying out too. You can meet Edie too out there in Sarasota, along with those that man the office in Sarasota. Michael Moore is a great guy. I've met him several times. He's gonna do just fine down there with all my Sarasota folks. If you want to make an appointment, with this while we're in Sarasota. You can just get on the reserve list right now, and then we'll firm things up with you a little bit later on. You can go to 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And my team, I'm instructing them, we need to get something up on our website where people can reserve a spot online for the workshop and the and a reservation, an appointment. So I do my radio show at 11, from 10 to 11. I know you hear it an hour later in Sarasota, but it's actually live 10 to 11. So those appointments will be after 11, probably up until 5 o'clock, you know, 3 or 4 days of them. They will fill up. I promise you that they will fill up. You guys wear me out down there, but I love every minute of it. And if you need an earlier appointment before the show, then, you know, I won't be able to provide. I won't be at those, but others will have to handle that because I'm in deep thought and preparation for my show every day. So there you go, Sarasota. Sometime in mid-June, we're going to say. And then we'll start planning Minnesota. Has the ice thawed? Up there, somebody tell me, is the ice thawed yet on the Mississippi River there? I can't wait to get back to Minnesota, to Minneapolis. I really love Minneapolis. So we'll have an announcement on that one. You know, I know you're all out deer hunting and all this kind of stuff in the summertime and ATVing and whatnot. But, you know, we're going to be there sometime in the summertime this time. I went one time in January. And, you know, it was it was cold. The guy grew up in San Diego. Well, anyways, we will. I'll keep you posted throughout the day in the market. I may see some buying opportunities come along here. I'm seeing a lot of stocks hitting very important moving averages, critical junctures here. They obviously need to hold. Time will tell. If you missed the newsletter last week, or if you want to get in for this week's newsletter, I'm the guy that got you in March of 2020 and started saying that the NASDAQ had peaked at 14,000 and started lightening up and getting out of growth and going into value. Those are some pretty good calls that I've made. That might give you a reason to want to follow me and listen to what I've got to say. A lot of times I'm the contrarian out there. Now everybody's saying, oh gosh, you got to get into the value stocks. And yes, inflation is real and the commodity stocks are real. Well, they're all jumping on the bandwagon now, but I was telling you a long time ago about this growth to value move. To get the newsletter, you can go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. I can't wait to get down to Sarasota once again. If you'd like to reserve a spot with Bill and team and a spot to the workshop, both of those will fill up. The workshop's going to be at the Grove. We'll probably start sometime around 6 to 6:30 p.m. Because I know most of your bedtime's around 8:30 down there in Sarasota, which is my bedtime too, so that's just fine. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. This has been the Best Stocks Now show on a lousy day in the market, but I think we're about at the bottom here on this little sell-off. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.